We will get started this morning. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away in eternal punishment, and the righteous in eternal life. Dearly Father God, we thank you for this time you've given us together. God, we're thankful for these moments that we get to come together, we get to worship you, and we get to dig into your word. God, I ask right now that you speak through our minds and our hearts. God, you allow us to pull something from this text to live our life better for you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As you can tell, I am not Russell. Russell is gone. I've already had several youth minister jokes preaching today, so I've appreciated all of those. I enjoy hearing those. They're so fun. But we are finishing the parables this morning. This is the last parable in this series that we will be looking at. And we're ending in Matthew. And Matthew ends in his discourse on the subject with Jesus teaching on the separation of sheep and goats. Now, when Russell gave me this text, I was like, wow, thanks, appreciate it. That's a great way to end. But as I thought about it, it clicked. And my first idea I had when preparing for this lesson this morning was that I was just going to sing you a children's song that I've heard our children's ministry sing at least once. And I thought, I can sing this song, I can offer the invitation, and we can go to lunch and it'll be short and simple. You know what song I'm talking about, right? Maybe you don't, but here's how it goes. I just want to be a sheep, ba-ba-ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba-ba-ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, blah, blah, blah. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. Don't want to be a goat, nope. Don't want to be a goat, nope. Haven't got any hope, nope. Don't want to be a goat, nope. Now, there's many more verses, okay? This is just a short portion of it, but I decided, honestly, maybe I shouldn't take that approach because you probably don't want to hear me sing. So I'll save you from that terror. But I will tell you, at the very end, if you don't get anything, just remember that. Ultimately, we want to be the sheep. We don't want to be a goat. That's what's going on in this text. Matthew 25, 31 through 46 is sometimes referred to as a parable. But it's unlike the majority of Jesus' parables for several reasons. First, it's not referred to as a parable because it's not like the others. Think about it. The ones that Russell has taken us through, it's not like the ones that we already know. Second, it's not framed as being about the kingdom of heaven, as many of Jesus' parables are in Matthew. And the third thing, the third reason that we see in this is it's not a made-up story used to illustrate Jesus' teachings about, but it is about future events presented in a very symbolic and prophetic manner. All right? So in the section of Matthew, Jesus speaks about something more than what happened when he should return. In this parable, Jesus gets to the essence of what it means to be a follower in this day and age. So when we get to this section this morning, let me ask you to consider this. How do you define the essence of being a Christian? What determines whether you really are or really aren't one? Because here's the deal, for many Christians, it seems like Christianity means not more than believing the right things, obeying a few moral laws, but is that really it? In his book, Crazy Love, Francis Chan says this, just to read the Bible, attend church, and avoid big sins, is this really the passionate, wholehearted life of discipleship Jesus was calling us to? And that's the question you have to ask yourself as you're reading this text. Jesus told this parable in Matthew not to imply that works bring salvation, but to show that there are many who pretend to know and to love God, you know, saying the right things, going to church, but never truly living a changed life that loves others like Jesus loves us. That's what's going on. You know, in this section in Matthew, it's like a kind of a sneak peek for us. It's a glimpse. It's a preview as what is going to take place when he comes back and he rules and he reigns again someday. So as we read verses, you know, 31 through 36, this text gives us three actions that will take place at the end of the world as we might know it. And first we read that we just read a few verses a while ago, 31 through 33, we learn there's going to be sorting. Right? We learn it. It says, when the Son of God comes in his glory and the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. I'll tell you right now, you want to be on the right. You don't want to be on the left. So there's going to be sorting. There's going to be sorting of the sheep and the goats. And this sorting of sheep and goats, just so you know, like we might look at this and we'd be like, I don't understand this. I don't live on a farm. I don't understand this. But this is something that would have been very familiar to the people of Israel. They would have understood this because sheep and goats would be herded together. They would be together. And there would be times where they would need to be separated. And so we see when Jesus comes, people will be categorized as sheeps and goats, and they will face a judgment. But here's something interesting. Here's something interesting in why I told you you want to be a sheep. Because when we see in the text and we look at other places, God says that we are his sheep. We see this time and time again. Here's just a couple. Psalms 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You know, here's the deal. God desires for us to be his sheep, and he will be our shepherd. So the shepherd has divided the sheep and the goats, with the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. But here is something interesting. This is the last time in the parable, when you look at the text, look at it if you have it in front of you, right here is the last time in the parable that you'll see the mention of a shepherd. Because it changes. The language changes, and now it shifts from this talk about a shepherd, and it shifts to a talk about a king. If you know anything about this time period, Israel wanted one thing, and they were confused about what that really was, and what did they want? They wanted a king. All along, they didn't understand. They wanted Jesus, but in their mind, they wanted a king, so he's changing that language so they understand. And you might be asking, who is this king? This king is being referred to as Jesus. They don't understand that yet, but that's what's going on here. Jesus is our good shepherd, right? But he is also the king above all kings. And he's coming back someday, and he says he's going to rule over all the earth. And in this parable, Jesus tells us that the first thing he's going to do when he returns is he's going to decide who are the sheep and who are the goats. So Jesus will come with great glory, as we see in the text. He'll sit on his great throne. He'll be surrounded by a great host of angels, and he will conduct a great gathering of people. He will conduct a great sorting, and he will, at that time, pronounce a great judgment. And we understand, if we continue on the text, the second thing that really sticks out is there's going to be a reward, right? The first group Jesus addresses is the sheep, and those are on his right. And we see that in verses 34 through 40, and it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me.'" The sheep on Jesus' right hand are blessed by God the Father. And they're given what? An inheritance according to the text. The reason for this? Because they fed him, right? They gave him food. They gave him a drink. They gave him clothing. They visited him. And so there's a reward. But not only is there a reward for the other side, there's what? There's judgment. There's judgment. You know, if you look at verses 41, and I think I went too far, or maybe I didn't. It doesn't really matter. If you look at verses right there, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And this is key. "For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink." So yes, the sheep are going to be rewarded, but the goats are going to have judgment. So I ask you again, how many of you want to be a goat? How many of you want to truly be a goat? You know, the goats on Jesus' left hand, they're cursed with eternal punishment. That's what we see in the text, meaning they're not going to heaven, okay? They're going to the opposite. They're going to the place that is, as it says in verse 41, it's described as prepared for the devil and his angels. And why are they going there? It's right there in the text. The reason is given. They had an opportunity to minister to the Lord, but they did nothing. They did nothing. In verse 45, it says, those on the left asked, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help? And then we see the reply in verse 35. Jesus replies, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." So let's think about this a second. Let's do a little comparison from what we've seen so far. And when you compare the two, the sheep and the goats, it sounds like the sheep did a great job, doesn't it? You kind of get this feeling that the sheep did a great job. And what's funny is, because we see it in the question, did the sheep even know what they did? No. The sheep are confused. The sheep didn't know what they did, but what Jesus said to them may seem a little confusing to them. Because Jesus said they fed him when he was hungry. They gave him a drink when he was thirsty. They made friends with him when he was lonely, and he came to see him when he was in the hospital or in prison. So what does that mean? You know, if we take it in today's age, how can I possibly be one of the sheep when I've never even met Jesus in person? Right? We know from some of the other parables that we've studied that Jesus always had a good answer when people were confused. He knew that his parables were often kind of mysterious and hard to understand. And that's exactly what he wanted them to be. He wanted people to think. He wanted people to slow down and really look at the text and see what he is saying. But Jesus never, ever, ever left people with any doubt what he meant. And that's why the king in the story of the sheep and the goats gives us a clear answer to his question. And we find this answer. You have to go to 40, but you find the answer in 40. And it says, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. And it's impressive to realize the sheep are surprised by this turn of events. Because here's the thing. They weren't, you know, serving others to be noticed or to get favor of the king. They were doing good because it was in their nature to care for others and those that Jesus in turn loved himself. Jesus told the sheep that because they loved and they cared for the people around them, they have loved and cared for him. And because of that, and because of many other things, the sheep get invited to the kingdom of God. And that's where it starts clicking to them. They're like, oh, what you're talking about, God, is you're not talking about what I've done for you. Yes, I've done great things, but when I do things for other people, it's like I'm doing it for you. And because of this, we realize, at least I realize in the text, that little things matter a lot. The king commends the sheep for everything from feeding the hungry to clothing the naked. But in there, he recognized something as simple as a drink given to the thirsty. The point is that there is no service too small for Jesus to remember. He notices those things, and he sees those things. And the king's interaction with the goats is the most, you know, sobering aspect of this parable. You know, it's one thing to celebrate the positive and kind things someone does, right? It's another thing entirely to realize that the king is paying attention to opportunities to help others that we neglect to capitalize on. You know, it's a mistake to assume that becoming more Christ-like is merely a case of stopping bad behaviors. The more like Jesus we become, the more our lives are poured into service for others. To do that, we have to put in the effort, right? So many of the kindnesses the king mentions are ones that the sheep would have had to go out of their way to perform. No one just happens to run into someone who is in prison. I mean, unless you're a police officer and that's your job. For me, that's not me. I don't just run into someone who is in prison. So I have to make plans, right? I have to make plans to spend time with someone in that position. It's not something that just happens. You have to put in the effort and you have to make those plans. If you want to be a sheep, we'll be on the lookout for ways to love people around us. This week is Thanksgiving, and several more weeks is going to be, I know, the one thing my wife does not like when I say because she just doesn't want to think about it before Thanksgiving, is Christmas, right? Are you on the lookout to love and to help people around you who might need that? Are you looking for ways to offer food or, as the text says, a simple glass of water or clothes or to visit someone who might need it? These actions are all good things, right? We can't deny that. They are all good things, but something really important to remember. The sheep have not earned their place in the kingdom through the good things that they did. There are not enough good deeds in the world to change the fact that we have been separated from God by His kingdom, by our sin. You know, the core message of this parable of the sheep and the goats is that God's people, they will love others. They will love others. Good works will result from our relationship to the shepherd. Followers of Christ will treat others with kindness. You know, serving them as if they were serving Christ Himself. The stubborn live in the opposite manner, right? While goats can indeed perform acts of kindness and charity, their hearts are not right with God. And their actions are not for the right purpose, to honor and worship God. I want you to understand that. I think it's so hard when we read this text to just think, well, if I love people, if I give food, if I clothe them, if I give them water, then I'll be a sheep. That's not what the text is saying. Those are all important. But where's your heart? Where's your heart when it ultimately comes to it? Maybe this morning you need to listen to your shepherd and you need to follow his lead. And you need to be willing to open to allow him to lead you and to guide you and to show you the things that you need to do. Maybe this morning you want to respond to that in a way. You want to respond to his call by making a commitment to him in the waters of baptism. We would love to help you with that and to help you on that journey. You know, maybe this morning you just need the prayers. You need prayers of elders. You need prayers from those around you. That's one thing I love about this church, is that I know there are people here that will pray for me. I know there are people here that will pray for me daily if I ask for it. But sometimes the hardest thing is just to ask, isn't it? If that's you this morning, if you need that in any way, my challenge to you is not to step back. Let that shepherd guide you. Be looking into Thanksgiving and Christmas for those opportunities of how you can truly be a sheep. Not only in your personal life, but also in the lives of others. And how can you help them? If there's anything we can do for you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?